right. Good morning, everybody. How are we? We good? That's great. I don't know if you noticed, but I almost just like totally disconnected this thing and dropped it on the floor. So it's a great start today. My name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the lead pastor here at Life Point Church. I'm so excited that you're here with us this morning, worshiping. I mean, didn't Jared and the team do such a good job? It was great. It was an awesome job today. So today, we are jumping into just a standalone message. A lot of times I do series here and there, but today we're just doing a standalone. Just one message today, and then make sure that you come out next week. Pastor Ken will be preaching next week. It'll be his last Sunday here with us, so we definitely want you to make sure that you come out, bring a friend or two as Ken preaches, and we celebrate just the incredible work that he's done over the past 18 years. So make sure you're here for that. It will be fantastic. Today, we're going to talk about staying connected, the importance of staying connected. So how many of you here right now have a cell phone in your purse or in your wallet? How many of you have had your cell phone out at some point in time already during this service? It's okay if you raise your hand. How many of you are raising one hand and have your cell phone in the other hand right now? My daughter, Greg, raise your hand. I saw it. Right. We, as a people today in 2018, are connected, right? That's one of the ways that we stay connected with other people. We got social media. We're always connected to something. When we don't have our cell phone on us, many times we're a little paranoid. We freak out. You know, I don't know how many times I've been like, I'm just going to run to the grocery store and I accidentally left my cell phone and I turn around and go get it. Like, I'm not really going to need it for anything. But it's just a way we feel connected, right? So connection is important. It's really vital in our lives. But sometimes being connected to the wrong thing can be toxic, can be not good. Or maybe being overconnected to something that's not necessarily bad, but just obsessed with, like many of us are with our cell phones. We're addicted to those things. We're a little overly connected. But today, I want to talk about staying connected to the most important thing, to the most critical thing. When we look through the New Testament, we see Jesus uses multiple analogies to describe himself, known as a lot of the I am statements. Right? So he says, some of them are, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. Maybe the most beautiful I am statement. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. These I am statements that we see in scripture. And we're going to talk about one specifically today. One that's come up in my life a few times, just in conversations over the past couple of weeks. It's just very interesting to me how this just keeps popping up and how important it is when it talks about staying connected. And it's the I am statement that Jesus made is, I am the vine. Right? He says, I am the vine. So let's kick this thing off by checking out John chapter 15, verse 5. And Jesus says this. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, nothing. It's a little dramatic, to be honest, but incredibly truthful. Jesus says, I am the vine. When you're connected, it's good. You're going to be healthy. But apart from me, nothing. Nothing. Not just a little bit, nothing. And see, this is an incredible truth, but when you actually break down and look at the context of when this was said, man, it takes it to a whole nother level. Right? You see, this becomes incredibly significant because in John 15 is when this is said. But in John 13, chapter 13, we see that it's the start of what's known as the Last Supper, right? And it's called that because this is the last time that Jesus was going to sit down for a meal with his disciples before being arrested, put on trial, and eventually crucified. So this is right before that, chapter 13. And then in chapter 18, we see that he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and that's where he was arrested, led away, and eventually crucified. So what we have between chapter 13 and chapter 18 is kind of like dinner conversation, dialogue, interaction, right? So this is incredibly important, because think about it. If you knew that you were going to sit down with your family and some of your closest friends for a meal and hang out with them for the day, for the evening, or whatever, and you knew that that was going to be the last time that you would ever speak with them before you passed on, do you think you would think about that conversation? Do you think you would plan out and really kind of just really dig down and say, what do I want to share? What is most important for me to share with my family and my friends? Man, I want them to know how much I love them and I care about them. I also want to share some wisdom with them, some truth, some things that I've learned over the years, or whatever it may be. You would really think about that conversation, and those words would be valuable. Be some of the most important words that you would share with them. And that's the context in which Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear fruit. But apart from me, nothing, right? So, if these are some of Jesus' last words to his disciples, why is it so important for us to stay connected to the vine? I mean, that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. These are some of his last words. Why is it important to stay connected to the vine? And so to help you with that, I'm very much a visual person, and I think Jesus understood that about people, about us, because he's using an analogy of, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He's breaking this down for us very simply. So let's continue on with that, right? So here's a picture, Tyler, if you go ahead and put that up, of a tree, right? Would you say that looks to be a pretty healthy tree? What about that makes you feel like it's healthy? The easiest is that it's some nice fruit on there. It looked delicious, right? But we see that tree is in soil, right? There's probably some fertilizer. I'm sure it's gotten plenty of water, right? So it's healthy. And this is the image. This is Jesus, right? And when we're connected to that as the branches, we get that nourishment and that health from him. And then as a result, we bear fruit, right? It's a healthy tree. But many of us look like this guy right here. Dry, broken off, no fruit. Right? That's why this is important. How many of y'all want to be this? How many of y'all want to be that? Two people. Awesome. I just need to shut this. We need to have a whole different conversation, right? No, I'm just kidding. Right. This is why it's important to be connected to the vine. And not only just the vine, but the true vine. Right? In John 15:1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Which implies to me that there are some false vines out there, right? There's some things that we can attach to as a branch that's not going to produce any health. That's not going to nourish us. That's not going to support us. That's not going to love us. That's not going to help us to be that tree. Tyler, if you could throw that back up there, that's producing fruit. There's some false vines, right? And so what that typically looks like for us is there may be a false vine, and here we are, and say this pitcher of water right here is that false vine, and we're like, okay, here we go. Bam, we're connected. Fruit. You think that's going to produce fruit? No, I'm no botanist, but I don't think that putting this withered, dry, old stick into this vase of water is going to produce any fruit. Not going to happen. Right? And in our day-to-day, what that typically looks like is us connecting to these false vines. Like, you know, if I could just make more money, right? Or if I could get this promotion at work, or if I could climb the ladder, or if I could do this or that, or whatever it may be, and then I'm going to produce fruit. Or that is fruit. Look at the fruit that I've produced because now I make more money. It's a false vine. Or we say things like, man, if I could just reach this social status. Man, if I could get this many followers on Instagram. Or if I could get that blue check mark and get verified. Woo! Fruit. Or if I tweet out this person and they retweet me, and then that person goes out to all their followers, and then I start getting new followers, then that's fruit. It's a false vine. Right? Maybe it's what we talked about a few weeks ago, and it's the mask, right? That's your false vine. You know, maybe for your house, you know, you make sure your landscaping is on point, your yard is always cut, you got the nice lines in your grass, and it's sick. It looks great. But on the inside, you haven't cleaned that sucker in months and months and months, and it's a mess. But it looks good on the outside. Or you walk into church, right? This is my favorite. This is my favorite because I've done it. I've been in the church my entire life. It's my favorite because, you know, you're driving to church and you're arguing. You argued at home over about someone not getting ready quick enough, or this person's tired and they don't want to come. And, oh, you're getting up and you're going. And did you brush your teeth yet? And, oh, where's your other sock? And we get in the car and there's traffic and there's this. And you're all frustrated. And then as soon as you walk in the door, you put on that smile. Someone says, how you doing? Like, praise the Lord. Great. It's a beautiful morning. And you don't really feel that way because you're frustrated. That's the mask, and it's a false vine. It's not going to produce any fruit. We'll leave this here for the whole time, and we'll see if it starts to produce any fruit. I will be freaked out if it does, and we will glorify God because it'll be a miracle. But it's the false vine, and it will not produce fruit. And we do this all the time, and we run and we run at it. But Jesus says, man, that's not fruit. Money's not fruit. He said, only connected to the true vine will you produce fruit, real fruit. That's where it's at. So again, why is it important to stay connected to the vine? A couple things, very simple, right here in the scripture. First off, right off the bat, simply put, in staying connected, we produce fruit. That's what we're here for. Right? We want to produce fruit. We want to be on mission. We want to move forward, right? We want to reach people with the good news of Christ. We are going to do that. Again, clearly, John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branch. If you remain in me and I in you, you will produce much fruit. I'm going to keep saying that verse over and over and over and over again because I want it to go from your head down into your heart and really saturate and sink in. Because there's a lot of things in scripture we know, especially if you've been in church for a long time, and it's knowledge, but it's not really a heart knowledge. We've got to get it there. We've got to have it seep into the heart. So connected to him, you will produce much fruit. The other miracle is going to be if I don't knock this thing over. All right, so when we hear fruit, right? So we've talked about what false fruit is, right? And what's not really fruit. So what is the fruit that we are supposed to bear or that we will bear when we're connected to the vine? And we see this in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit, right? It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. These are incredible things. And I don't know about you, but that is the kind of fruit that I want my life to produce. I want when people to think about me and say, hey, what do you think about Andy? That they see, man, they see all these fruits, right? That I'm producing those fruits in my life. And Jesus says that when you stay connected to the true vine, this is what is produced. It will be produced. So let me just ask, is this type of fruit evident in your life? When people think about you, are they thinking about those things or are they thinking about something totally different? What kind of fruit are you producing? Maybe for you, you are connected to the vine, right? You're a Christ follower and you're connected, but when you look, you're kind of like, man, I don't feel like I'm producing as much fruit as I think I should or that I would like to. See, that's why it says remain in him, right? Because sometimes there's those seasons where it's tough. There's that season where you're praying for a friend and you're sharing about Christ to them and you're inviting them to church and they seem to be going like the opposite direction and aren't paying attention, right? And that's frustrating for us because we care and we want them to know Christ. You know, or maybe you have this anger problem and you keep struggling with it and you're struggling. And you're like, man, where's you know, this kindness and this goodness and this gentleness and this self-control? Like, I don't see it. Maybe it's a lust problem that you keep wrestling with that you just can't feel like you can overcome, but you're connected. That's why it's so important that Jesus said, if you remain in me, there's gonna be those seasons that you have to remain in him. He'll remain in you and you will produce fruit. It's a promise. You will produce fruit, but we have to remain in him. So in those scenarios that you remain, you just keep praying for that person and you keep being Jesus to them and you keep loving them and you keep having their back and being there for them, right? When it's that anger problem or that lust issue and you keep failing or you fall again, man, just continue to pray over it. Remain in him. Seek God for forgiveness and seek him for his power and his strength to overcome, to renew your mind. He will do those things. We have to remain in him. He promises if we stay connected that we will produce that fruit that we just talked about. So we have to stay connected so that we produce fruit. But the second thing that we see from this scripture is the exact opposite, right? Simple. In being disconnected, we produce nothing. When we are disconnected, nothing. John 15, verse 6, this is the very next verse. He says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. I don't want to be that branch. Doesn't sound like a good day for that branch, for real. But that's what happens when we're disconnected. Yesterday, my uncle got married, and I had the privilege to officiate his wedding, and it was at a park in Cordon, Indiana, and that's where I found this lovely stick underneath a nice, beautiful tree that was producing, I don't know, some type of nuts or something. I don't know what kind of tree it was. Again, not a botanist. Don't know, don't care, but it was healthy, and it was producing something that it was supposed to, and this was laying on the ground underneath it. Dead, withered, not good for anything other than maybe being thrown into a fire. We don't want to be that, but we have to understand that apart from the vine, nothing, nothing. You see, being disconnected, especially if you're a Christ follower, leads to a lot of mess. One of the biggest issues that I've seen throughout my life in the church, and again, I've grown up in the church and I've been around a long time, is that what happens a lot of times when we are disconnected, we begin to find ourselves in this incredibly judgmental state. It's one of the biggest issues that I've seen in churches and with Christ followers that pushes people away from Christ. See, they're disconnected. They're not producing fruit. And the only thing they know how to do is then turn and just point the finger at everybody else. We'll get back to that here in a second. But it becomes this, takes on this judgmental state, and we can find ourselves in that pretty easily. What happens is it looks like, man, I can't see those people. Man, I can't believe that he cheated on his wife. I can't believe that. I would never do something like that. And the next thing you know, you find yourself in the middle of an affair or an emotional affair. Or totally disconnected from your wife, right? Or you look on and you say, man, my kids will never act like that. And if you have kids, you know how that one goes, right? We become judgmental. Or you say, man, I can't believe that they put their work over their family. Man, all they do is work, and they don't care about their family. They're not investing in their family. They're not spending time with their family. I would never put work, my job, before my kids or my wife. Then again, you get on the grind. You're disconnected from the true vine. You're not producing fruit. And the next thing you know, you don't even know what team your kids play on. You don't even know what activities they're involved in. And you're totally disconnected. We become judgmental when we're disconnected. And again, I know that from personal experience. I was that person that would say, man, I'm never going to put my job over my family, ever. My mom was an incredibly hardworking woman. She was the director of surgery at Jewish Hospital for a long time, and became the director at other hospitals of nursing and surgery, and she was on the grind, and she never missed a game, and she was always there. But there was times as I started, when I got married and when I had kids, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to put that much emphasis on work. I'm not going to work a job where I'm working till dark if my kids don't have something and I'm always gone, or I've got to rush in and do this and this and that. I'm not going to do that. Pretty quickly did I find myself right in that scenario between work and at times school, and then when I was at, you know, working at my other job, and then the church, and I had all these different jobs and all these different things that were going, that were good things. They weren't bad things. They were great things. But I got distracted from what was important. It happens very easily, and it happens even easier when you're disconnected from the vine. Because you're not producing fruit. Because apart from the vine, you can do nothing. Apart from the vine, you're this branch laying on the ground, useless, on the sidelines, existing. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that. But as people and as Christ followers and as a church, what we have to understand is that when you are disconnected from the vine, you're capable of anything. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how long you've been in church, and I don't care where you serve and what you do. When you are disconnected from the vine, you're capable of doing anything. Because we're fallen people in need of a Savior, and we have to be connected to that Savior. We have to. Because by our very nature, we're going to go off and do some other things. Anyone is capable of anything when you're disconnected to the vine. And again, me, Daniel, Ken, Roger, your favorite pastor, your favorite Christian author or musician or whatever it may be, anybody is capable of anything when you're disconnected to the vine. Because apart from the vine, you can do nothing. You're withered. Nothing. So at this point, I believe it's safe to say you all get that. Right? That it's important to stay connected. But to shift from that is then, how do we stay connected to the vine? Because life is tough, and it comes at you whether you're ready or not. So how do we stay connected to the vine? And of course, there's a lot of different ways. You know, we need to be reading the word, ingesting the word, listening to it, or however you're wired, but taking in God's word. You need to be spending time in prayer. You need to spend time in fellowship with other believers, whether it's going and getting coffee with someone and letting them encourage you spiritually and you encouraging them, iron sharpening iron, right? Worshiping. Maybe it's through nature, a beautiful sunset. You know, that's one of the ways that, man, whenever I'm driving in the morning, or late in the evening, and I see the sun rising and the sun setting, I'm like, oh, man, you're so good. You're so powerful. My son has picked up on that. You know, that's how he's wired too. He'll see and he's like, that's just so beautiful. God is so big. And, you know, but there's so many different ways that we can stay connected. But in this very passage, Jesus lays it out. Like, he lays it out for his disciples very simply and as clear as day. He says, in order to stay connected to the true vine, we see, first he says that you have to do what Jesus says. Right? Simple. This isn't, you know, anything rocket science or crazy theology or, you know, whatever, that you had to go to school for years to get this. Do what Jesus says. John 15:10, Jesus says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just keep my commands. Do what I say. Seems simple, but as a people, Christ followers, sometimes we don't do that. We get busy with all kinds of other things that may seem spiritual, but are we really doing what Jesus said? Francis Chan, who's just a great author and speaker and pastor, and used this illustration of keeping and applying God's commands kind of from a parent's perspective. And I think this is great. It's always stuck with me. But he gives this example of a parent asking their child to go clean their room. Right? That's the task. That's what he's telling or she's telling them to do. Go clean your room. So it's like, you know, hey, did you go and clean your room? And the kid's like, well, I memorized what you said about cleaning my room. I memorized it. Okay, but did you clean your room? You know, it was so valuable what you said about cleaning your room. I actually went and got it tattooed on my arm, got it in like Greek. And so I'd always remember, you know, what you said about cleaning my room. Okay, cool. But did you clean your room? Well, me and my friends, we went out to Starbucks and we had some coffee and we really wrestled with what you meant by cleaning the room, and we did a word study on the word clean, and in Greek it's kleneo, and it means to clean with haste, and so we got it. Okay, did you clean your room? Well, there's this incredible conference we went to and they talked all about cleaning your room, and there was just how we could do that more efficiently and productively and powerfully, and how important it is to clean your room. But did you clean it? Right? Think about that in the church today. And maybe God is asking you, did you clean your room? Man, again, growing up in the church, going to Bible college, there's a lot of people that know theology front and back, that can talk circles around me in theology, or, you know, they can translate Greek and Hebrew, and they can do all these things, and they know all these great, you know, leadership things about the church and about scripture, and they can quote off, they can read, you know, a whole chapter of the Bible, memory, and all this stuff, and none of that is bad. All of that is great. But at the end of the day, did you clean the room? Are you doing what Jesus said? Are you applying it? Because knowledge, again, nothing wrong with it. That's great. But if you're not applying it, that's useless. It's pointless. Doesn't matter. Are you doing what he said? Are you cleaning your room? It's time to quit talking about it. Clean your room. Many of you know exactly what it is that Jesus is leading you to do. What he wants you to do right now. And maybe you're like, well, I need to pray about it more. Or let me study some scripture more to see if that's really what I'm supposed to do. Man, do what Jesus says. Wherever it is that he's leading you, maybe it's that you need to get plugged in here more at LifePoint. Start serving. Start reaching out to the community. Start greeting people as they come in, or go work in the kids ministry. Or there's some other ministry that's birthed in your heart that you need, that you feel like God is leading you to do. Man, bring it up. Let's get going. Do what Jesus says. That's how we stay connected to the vine, by doing what he says. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. And the second thing that we see, which I love, is, you know, first he says, you got to keep my commands. But then he says exactly what that command is. Verse 10, Jesus says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Verse 12, he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So therefore, to stay connected to the vine, we have to love like Jesus loves. We have to love like Jesus loves. Let me tell you right now, that sounds beautiful. That's tough. Because that's not loving someone as you want to love them or as you think they should be loved or whether you think they deserve to be loved or not based off how they live and their lifestyle. No, that's not what we're called to do. We're not called to point the finger. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. We have to love like Jesus loved. You have to get outside yourself, outside of your comfort zone. I'm telling you, to love like Jesus loved, you're gonna have to get uncomfortable. If you don't believe me, read the life of Jesus. Went to some places, hung out with some people, loved on some people. Loved on some people that many of you, that if you felt like you automatically had to be in a room with, you would probably get a little uncomfortable. Or would maybe even question whether you should be even doing that. Yeah, love like Jesus loved. And I think it's really important that he said this. Love like I love, like I loved you. Love like Jesus loved. See, Jesus said this, you know, he realized, like in looking at his disciples, he realized that there was a problem, right? I mean, we're talking about Jesus. He knew all things. He knew how we're created. And he knows that we're fallen. And he knows that we're not always naturally gonna do that. I mean, he saw his disciples. For years, they were wondering and kind of debating, like, who's the greatest amongst the disciples, right? Which one of us is the greatest? Which one of us is the best? You know, they talked about it, and on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover meal, they were basically arguing about this at this point, right? And Jesus is like, hey, check this out. The greatest among you is the one that serves. Basically, the one that loves. That's who's the greatest among you. And not only did he say it, but then once they got there for their dinner, Jesus put a towel around his waist, right? He washed their feet. He said, the greatest is the one who serves. And he served. He loved them. He showed them what it was all about. Then he said over dinner, I am the vine. You are the branches. You remain in me and I in you. You will produce fruit. Apart from me, nothing. So you got to do what I say. You got to love like I love. And when you do this, you stay connected. In that very next verse, verse 13, he said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's love. Jesus took it to a whole nother level with that, right? This is the kind of love we're talking about. Greater love has no one. Jesus didn't give us some long list of do's and don'ts and things that we have to do this and this and that. He said, love each other as I've loved you. As I have loved you. I think one of the reasons and the most important things to note from that is one of the reasons that he said, love like I have loved you, is that he knew that that's impossible. He knows that we, in of ourselves, in our fallen nature, cannot love like he loved, apart from the vine. You see, when we are apart from the vine, we cannot. It's impossible for us to love like Jesus loved. But when we're connected and we're producing fruit, then we can begin to love like Jesus loved through his power, through his strength, not on our own, but of his. And see, what happens when we stay connected to the vine and we're doing what Jesus says and we love like he loves, then we have fruit that starts to be produced, right? And then we begin to serve and we love. And as a result, we're connected, and then more fruit comes, And it's this beautiful cycle of a fruit-bearing branch. And understand that our job in this whole thing, is not necessarily to bear fruit. It's to stay connected to the vine. That's what we have to focus on. Because when we are connected to the vine, the fruit comes. We don't have to work for that. Because that's God working through us. Because we're connected. Let's focus on that. The rest will follow. Man, stay connected to the vine. So again, let me ask you, are you connected? Are you connected to the vine or are you disconnected? Are you like this branch that's still not producing any fruit that was laying on the ground underneath a healthy tree? Useless. You're close to it. You're not connected. So you're pointless. Are you connected to the vine? And if so, what fruit is evidence from that connection? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is this evident in your life? Again, because when we are connected, that fruit will be produced. And as we're connected, that's when God takes maybe our loneliness, right? And he replaces it with his comfort. That's what happens when you're connected. It's part of that fruit. He takes your anger, frustration, maybe what happened to you in the past, or maybe what you did in the past, and he replaces that with his joy. Because you're connected and you're producing fruit. He takes your fear. He takes your fear and he replaces it with confidence. Trust, not in your strength, but in his, because you're connected to the vine. There's fruit, there's joy that comes. That's why when things go south real quick and you're still able to say, you know what, God's good. People don't get that. They don't understand that. But that's what happens when you're connected to the true vine. When you do that, one day you kind of come to this realization that you are in the middle of something incredible that God is doing through you. Again, it's natural when you're connected to the vine. It's the result. So be connected to the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branch. If you remain in me and I in you, you will produce apart from me, nothing. Don't be this guy. Be connected to the vine. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you so much that you are the true vine. That despite our flaws and our failures and our imperfections, stupid things that we do, God, that we can connect with you. And then through you, we can be made new. That through you, we can produce life and love and joy and peace and comfort, self-control. So God, may we be connected to the vine as individuals, Lord, and as a church. God, may we be connected to you. So we continue in prayer. Maybe you're here this morning and, man, ultimately you've never once in your life connected to the true vine. You've never stepped over that line of faith and giving your life to Christ. Man, man, we have to be connected. And understand, this is so important because God loves you. Regardless of what you may have thought in the past or maybe even think right now, God loves you. He's crazy about you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to take your place, to die and raise again so that you could be connected to that vine, so that you could be made right before the Father. Scripture says in Romans 10 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. He made a way for you to be connected. Based off Scripture, you just have to confess and believe. Say this every week. It's not some special prayer. It's not this and that. It's a heart transaction between you and God. That you confess that you have flaws, that you're not perfect, that you're in need of a Savior. You believe that God made a way through Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection for you to be made whole again. That Jesus was who he said he was, that he was the Son of God. And that through him and only him, we can be made right before the Father. So you confess and you believe. And at that point, all things have become new. You are connected to the vine. And in staying and remaining connected, you begin to produce beautiful fruit. Connected to him for all eternity. But we have to remain. But that first step is being connected. So if that's you this morning, and you just call out to God however he leads you. Again, it's from the heart. It's confessing and believing. And if that's you, and you do business with him, however he leads you. And if you're not quite ready for that, man, keep coming to LifePoint. We love you. We want to help walk point for you. We want to answer some questions that you may have. Whatever it may be, we're here for you. But if you feel that tug and you feel that leading, you feel that emptiness that you have, trust me, that's only something that God can fill. So you just confess and believe this morning. But maybe you're here and you are connected to the vine. You are a Christ follower. But you've been pulling away. Or you've been connecting to some false vines. Man, I'm guilty of that in my own life so many times. God, you're good. I know you're the true vine. But let me check this one out over here. Maybe I can do better here. Or I like this. Whatever it may be, whatever reason. But maybe you're connected to some false vines this morning. Man, get back connected to the true vine. Where life is. Where joy is. Where peace is. Where it's exciting. And you're producing much fruit. Not because of what you do, simply because you're connected to the vine. And get reconnected today. Do what Jesus says. And love like Jesus loved. Get uncomfortable and love like Jesus loves. Whatever it is this morning, that God's working in your heart. Again, you just do business with him. Don't ignore it. Respond. God, again, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. God, we thank you for how much you love us. Despite our flaws and our failures, God. Despite how many times we try to disconnect and we run and we try to do things on our own way, God. Thank you for being there. Never leaving us, never forsaking us. And God, may we, again, as individuals in a church, remain in you and stay connected to the true vine and trust you for the fruit. Again, we thank you, Lord. And just, I pray that you would bless each person here, Father. You continue to speak to them, and may they have the courage and the boldness just to do business with you this morning, whatever it is, God, whether they need to connect to you for the first time and give their lives to you, or maybe they need to get things right, get things back in check, and reconnect to you, Father. God, you do business today, God. We love you, and we thank you.